It was lovely to hear testimonies and sharing of things which is will help us to pray for you. My name is Jeremiah Daoud. I'm originally from Sudan. My wife here is Susie. She is from Northern Ireland. We have our daughter Jessica, and we have a son, Jordan. Unfortunately, he can't be with us. He's playing the drums in the worship team. And I'm really blessed today because normally Susie and Jesse are part of our Sunday school as well. I'm part also of the regional ministry team, which I'm district minister, and we'll be praying for you guys as we, you know, try to help and to fill the gap of finding minister for you. And it's just lovely to see and hear that the unity in the church where are uniting together to seek God. That is fantastic to hear. The most powerful thing in the church when the church come united. I always speak about people like to raise their voice, you know. I have a vote. It's not about my vote. It's about the kingdom of God. Sometimes we have to, hold our voices for bringing consensus into the church and bring unity into God's kingdom. And as we humble ourselves, God always will send us the right ministers, and the church will go forward. So we have our assurance. We'll be praying for you, and we'll be praying for you with a better light as well. We came to East Ham Baptist Church 2009, and we had a journey very similar to you, where the church was vacant, and we praise God. God have moved us to really tremendous way. We have over 33 different nationalities in the church now. Our books, you know, have 103 members. Attendance, they attend about 80 to 100 in a good Sunday. Some of the old drop downs, like 60 to 70 people come adults. And we have, by God's grace, through Susie and Jessica and others, our children grow to about 50, 60 children now. And I pray that, you know, your church, maybe in the future, we'll hear about a big revival happening in the church, because you are in the center place, and God will certainly be using you mightily. Amen. Great. I would like to read. You're going to put it reading, but I'm going to read for you Colossians chapter 3 from verse 1. Can we put it in the screen there, or it's already there? Excellent. Okay, shall we stand up together? Let's read it together from the screen so I don't read it from my version. With the apostles 3, 1, 2, 3.
You have been raised to life with Christ, so set your hearts on the things that are in heaven, where Christ sits on his throne at the right side of God. Keep your minds fixed on things there, not on
seated. And I encourage all of us, please, as you go back home, open the scripture and read. I encourage our church as well, whenever you hear somebody preaching, don't take it 100%, okay? But also do your own research and seek God, as we have to be intelligent in our way of worshiping the Lord. We must take our faith seriously. You know, we do take our walk very serious, and we are scared to make a mistake. But unfortunately, the Christian faith will become kind of a lazy. We want to be fed by the spoon all the time. But we have a duty to really search God's words and to be active in that. Amen? Apostle Paul was a character. He was a man who have great knowledge and philosophy, but yet he was a man who have a great integrity, which whatever he says in his mouth, he does it in his action. So his action follow his talk. And if you study the history of the Apostle Paul's character, he was a Pharisee. He was jealous of God's work, and therefore he was speaking to the church of Colossians and telling them, you know what, I want you to be really a church that act upon hearing the word of God, not just hearing it and do nothing. And when he was a Pharisee, even before he met Christ, he was jealous of what he have learned and what he was teaching, to the point he was the greatest persecutor of the Christian. He was doing it out of his love and passion for God. And I pray that we will really grasp that jealousy, that passion for Christ from the Apostle Paul as we go through this quickly. Amen. So through the guiding of the Holy Spirit, he is teaching the church under this title, how to be a true Christian. Christ and being true to Christ. If that make any sense. So I have a number of points which I'll go through it. Number one, he's saying in verse 1, he say, seek those things which are above. Seek those things which are above. If you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God the Father. The problem of the church today that we have, or many of us have heard the wrong teaching, and unfortunately we have heard the wrong gospel, especially if I might say the evangelical churches or Protestant church. We have come out of the traditional church with this idea: we are free in Jesus, grace, therefore we have freedom, and in our freedoms we do anything we like. And sometimes our own culture encourages that as well. You know, today you have the right to say whatever you like, whatever you feel. I can wake up in the morning, I said, I feel I'm a Chinese today. You can't argue with me. You know, you can tell, well, that's my feeling. I feel I'm a Chinese. You may say, I don't look Chinese, but I'm Chinese. So I have the right, the freedom to feel whatever I like. And that have impacted our theology, have impacted our understanding of who God is, and have impacted our understanding of our behavior, how to live a true Christian life. And that's wrong understanding have a great impact on the church of Colossians and our church today. Thankfully, I don't know anything about you guys, but I can tell you that's true to our church in East Ham Baptist Church. People like the freedom. The Apostle Paul is saying to the church and to us today, yes, you have a freedom. Freedom in Jesus. But this freedom is based on one thing you have to understand. He says, it is based on the resurrection of Christ from the dead. What does it really mean? Based that we have freedom in Christ, that we are raised with Jesus from the dead, that means we are dead ourselves. Because you can't raise from the dead unless you die. The problem is, we want to be raised with Christ, but we want the old person to be alive. And that is not Christianity. That's fake news, fake gospel. If we want to be true Christians, we need to die first, self-die, and then we raise up with Christ. Therefore, our freedom has to be based on Christ's death and resurrection, not on us. And if we grasp that, then since we become alive, then we will be living like who? Like Christ, drawing our strengths from the power of his resurrection. The power that defeated sin, the power that defeated darkness, the power that defeated all the bad habits that in the old person. He says those who come to Christ, there are what? New creation. We are new. They're no longer the old person in us. We are new creation. Therefore, we draw our strengths. We draw our power from Christ and his resurrection. So if we are truly Christian, and if we want to live life a true Christian, raised from the dead with Christ, we ought then to seek. First word, seek the things that which is above. Seek the place where Christ is, not anywhere else. Our focus has to go where? To heaven. Because if we are dead and alive with Christ, and Christ, where does Jesus sit? He sits at the right hand of God the Father. Therefore, we should seek all the things that is in heaven. And I'm pleased to hear earlier that there is unity in the leaders. Unity in the church are seeking the thing that's above. And that's where we should do individual as well in our own personal life. Seek the things that's in heaven. Our heart desire have to be changed. We have to desire Christ and Christ only, nothing else. I always say to our church, because I'm an immigrant myself, and many of us have come from different countries, and we lost the focus. Many of us have come from good faith. I come from Sudan, where the church have been persecuted. I've been to jail many times. And we come to the UK, I came 25 years ago almost, and some of us have lost the focus. We start to seek what the world will offer. We want to be better economically. We want to own houses, which is not bad things. But our focus have to be where? In heaven. I always share this. The greatest thing that I have on my children, they're very successful. My son, he's in King's, he's doing dentistry. Jessica is doing law, she's finishing this year. They're very successful. But the most success that really pleased my heart, they both know the Lord. The most important thing, if you give your children whatever money you can, it is worth nothing if they're away from Christ. Let us focus on heaven. The most important thing that you can give to your children is Jesus. And therefore, we have to seek the things above. Secondly, in verse 2 and 4, he says, set your mind on the things above. And the Apostle Paul moved from seeking to set. And setting your mind is an act of a long-term, required strategy. And we have to plan 1, 2, 3, 4 in our journey with Christ. Not only we desire, but we set a plan. How do we live our life in order to know Jesus better? I say to East Ham Baptist Church as well, we set our plans very well in our life. People go to work on time, but they come to church very late. You know, we have all the excuses in the world. Okay, the first thing we drop is the meetings. The first thing we drop from our agenda is God. God become sometimes, well, I will say it frankly, sometimes he is not even in our list, in our priority, because we're setting our plan of the things of the world. And we need to change, train our mind to think where Christ is. If we have died with Christ and rose again with Christ, and now Christ is sitting at the right hand of God the Father, therefore our mind have to be trained in all the things that will help us to reach that place. Apostle Paul, in other writing, he says, run the race well. So often we start the race. Today we have a marathon. Is it the northeast? Huh? Yes. And you can imagine somebody, he says, I want to run the marathons. Well, half marathons, right? Half marathons. I want to run it, but they never practice. They never set their mind. And what do? They start, and after just 1 mile, they'll collapse. Me and Susie, we work for St. John Ambulance. We used to. And we did cover the London Marathon before. And we had this young guy who's 21. He nearly died. We had to rescue him. And after 4 hours of treating him, he says, I just thought I could do it. And he just ran after 4 miles. He nearly lost his life. Lost his life. So in the Christian sense, the Apostle Paul, set your mind on the things above. We need to train your mind. We need to plan. We need to run the race well. Many of us starting, people like to be leaders. Everybody would like to be a leader. Everybody would like to be in the pulpit and preach and guide. But people don't like to take the responsibility. Leadership is harder than you can ever think. You might have the title, but with all this title, you have a big responsibilities. If you give money away, you have to, write receipt. Otherwise, they will ask you, where is the money? Okay? So we need to run the race well. We need to set our mind on Christ. Amen? Number 3, verses 5 to 6, it says, put to death your members which are on the earth. The first 2 points about seeking, setting our mind, our heart desire have to be in the truth, in God's direction. But now moving to the area where we put things into practice. And I would say, A, we must be doers of the word, not just hearers. Doers of the word, not we hear a lot. We become professional hearers. Christians are the best people who can hear. We are used to sit for 2 hours, although all those days, Spurgeon time, Spurgeon, one of the great preacher of this area in the East, people sit with Spurgeon for 4 or 5 hours preaching. I tell you, if I go more than 20 minutes, you will start to look at your watch. Even that professional hearers, we become even in that sense, we become a bit lazy about it. But we need to move from just hearers of the word to doers. We cannot serve two masters, whether you serve God or the world. If you set the things, you set your mind on the things of in heaven, you must put to death the things of this world. How much do you desire? Do you desire making money more than you desire God? Do you desire your daughter, your son to marry a rich person than a believer? These are real questions. We hear God's words all the time. I have great sadness in my heart when one of the ladies comes and tells me, Pastor, I'm really going out with this man, but he is not a believer, but he is very well off. My heart really sank, because what are we really seeking? We need to put to death the desire of this world, because the devil have one purpose. He come to steal, to destroy, and kill whatever you have. The devil will never give you something that lasts. His boyfriend that is well off, believe me, comes with a package, a huge package of destruction. Steal your youth, we steal your beauty, and I will throw you away like nothing. Let us be doers of the word. Secondly, your heart desire must match your action. We cannot claim love and practice hate. I find it very difficult when somebody is so powerful in prayer in the church. They come and pray and, you know, they share. And you see, wow, this man or this woman is really, you know, climbing up to heaven. But after church, they see a sister or brother, they don't want to even greet them. See, claiming something and practicing something else. Your heart desire must match your action. And guess what? People are watching. Whether you could be a vessel of honor to honor the Lord, or you can be a vessel of curse to be the reason for people going out of this church and not come back again. Thirdly, this principle of putting the member to death is not just for the Colossians, for us today. And as I said before, it is real. And I'm speaking in freedom because I don't know any of you, but I can tell about our church. There's some people, you know, and the bigger the church becomes, the more of these things happen. And even sometimes when the smaller, even more worse, because it's more noticeable. People see it very, very obvious. Amen? Lastly, he says in verse 5 and 6 to verse 8, 7 and 8 as well, he says, cast off and throw all the rotten garment. The rotten garment. Put to death your desire. And now calling us to live according to Christ himself. The first thing that we need to do is we must face the old person in us. The biggest mistake that Christians are not trained to do is at the end of the day, you sit with yourself, say, Jeremiah, what have you done today? And then face the old person in me. Because unless we face the old person, we will never put to death the desire of the flesh. You know, if somebody have a habit, if you come from, I know some people who come from drug addict background, and they come to Christ, they come with the habit of swearing all the time. In every 2 seconds, the F word comes out. But that person will never get rid of that until they face the old person. This have to stop. This have to stop. I am wrong in that area. It is very easy for us to tell yourself, I am right. You know, she is wrong. She have done me wrong. I'm behaving like that because she is a wicked woman. Or he is a wicked woman, a wicked man. Oh, that's possible too. So we have to face the old person in us. Lastly, you must change the old person. That is, God have given us the power to change. You know, if we are truly Christian, giving our life to Jesus, and we died, I rose again with Christ, then we have the power and the strength to change. If I have something that is not right with God, say, I'm determined by the power of Christ, through his strength, to change. Thou shalt not sin again. People often quote the Bible wrongly, and that's why I said, whenever you have been hearing something, go back and study the Word of God, because when you look at it again, the Holy Spirit will speak to you. God will make it clear to you. Often people talk to me about, Pastor, Jesus did not condemn the woman was caught in adultery. He says to her, if any of you have not sinned, throw the first stone. But they haven't finished the story. The story haven't finished there. But we always just stick in our head this story, half of the story. Okay? Half of the story, and we forget the whole purpose of the story. Jesus go to the woman and he says, do not sin again. He says, I forgive you, but change your life. You have the power now because you have been given forgiveness. Then you have the power to change your life. Do not sin again. And the Apostle Paul is telling us again, let's change all persons. It's so sad to see people come in with old habits for years and years, again and again and again. They don't want to change. May the Lord bless you and guide you for his glory. Amen.